This is Knowing Christ Radio with Dr. Rich Burkle, and we're so glad you've joined us today. We encourage you to join us each weekend as Rich helps us drill deeper with his expository teaching of Scripture. We pray that you'll be encouraged and challenged by today's message.
It's a picture of a gathered group of people going to the place where God dwells and singing to Him there. In the Old Testament, that place was the temple, it was the tabernacle. In the New Testament, that place is His gathered church. And yes, there is a sense where every individual person is a temple of the Holy Spirit. But yes, also every local church is a temple unto the Lord, a temple of the Holy Spirit.
Now here's Rich to introduce the second part of a message titled, Worship Through Thanksgiving.
Thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. We've been thinking about the subject of worship, and today we consider the subject of worshiping God through our thanksgiving. We open up our Bibles to Psalm 100, and in this psalm, God gives us an invitation. God says, enter His gates with thanksgiving, enter His courts with praise, give thanks to Him, bless His name. You know, oftentimes when we're invited to a wedding or we're invited to a birthday party, at the bottom of the invitation is RSVP and tells us how we can respond. And what the person who makes the invitation desires is to know, are you coming or aren't you? Well, God often gives us invitations in scriptures, and these invitations are always to blessing and to joy. And this is one of enter my courts with thanksgiving, enter into my courts with praise. And we fail to respond at all. We may have good intentions, but we don't say yes. We don't really say no. And I wouldn't challenge you as you listen to this message today to plan to make a response, to either say, yes, God, I will. That's what I would encourage you to do. Let's open up God's Word together.
We serve our families because we enjoy them. So we by nature, naturally, when we enjoy our families, we serve them. We serve other things, like, you know, many of you serve in a myriad of ways. You serve your local schools because you enjoy that school, what they're doing for your kids. You serve various charities to help the poor because you care about the poor. You love that work, and so you want to be involved in it. You serve sports programs and dance programs and science programs that your kids join. You serve the Boy Scouts and Rotary Clubs and neighborhood watch groups and nursing homes. The point here is that we serve the things that we enjoy the most. And this king rides in, he says, I want you to enjoy me more than anything else. And so if you really want to express gratitude, then serve the Lord, Yahweh, with gladness. God is saying, if you realize how good and kind I am, give me thanks by connecting to my mission, to what I'm about in this world. So when you have a church that's full of people who know the goodness of God and want to give thanks to Him, there's an army that asks the question, what can I do? What can I do to serve God here as an expression of His goodness to me? I want to express to Him that He is so valuable, He's so treasured, not to pay Him back, because I never could, but just an expression of the joy that I have, and what can I do? And it's vital then, and this is the thing, God loves cheerful servants. He doesn't just love servants. God doesn't want us to serve Him grudgingly. He doesn't want to serve Him in a way that, well, you know, they passed around that sign-up sheet for the 10th time, and I guess I should do this because, you know, people are expecting me to. That's not worship. That's not value to God. In fact, God doesn't need that kind of service. It's actually a dishonor when we serve God grudgingly. He says, I want you to serve me with gladness in your heart. That's an expression that all of my life is benefited because of my King. How can I be part of the mission that glorifies Him in this world? So if you desire to give thanks to God as expression of worship, find a place of service to God in His church. Serving opportunities are abundant. Serving God through caring for little ones in the nursery, teaching Sunday school, leading good news clubs, greeting one another at the door, helping with Awanas, connecting to local missions, committing to orphan care, visiting shut-ins, communicating with missionaries, helping with evangelism projects, committing to intercessory prayer, making coffee at the Connection Cafe. Seriously, those are kinds of things that make a big difference for the glory of God and His church. Things like even vacuuming floors and mowing the grass around the church grounds. ask God, Lord, I want to serve you with gladness. What would you have me to do to serve you? And as you decide to serve, again, make the kind of commitment that reflects the generosity of God, your appreciation for the generosity of God. It's the kind of commitment where you actually have to rearrange your schedule quite a bit. You have to rearrange your priority. You have to rearrange your time. Because it's not just sort of a nod to God. Yep, thank you. Let me give you a quick note. It's sort of, no, your grace is so profound in my life. I want to do something that expresses how profound I've experienced you and your benefits. The third instruction, joyful assembling. So verse 2, at the end of verse 2, he says, come into his presence with singing. The New American Standard reads, come before him with joyful singing. So come is the command, come. So in order to obey this command, we, again, physically have to do something. We have to leave our homes, right? So you can't come, because this is, again, the picture is of a gathered group of people coming together to honor this king who is leading this victory procession. In order to be part of that, you have to get out of your house in order to get in the street to wait the king. And that's the picture here, is that God would have a people gathered for the purpose of exalting him, of bringing him praise. Later in that call to worship in verse 4, he says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. So it's a picture of a gathered group of people going to the place where God dwells and singing to him there. In the Old Testament, that place was the temple, it was the tabernacle. In the New Testament, that place is this gathered church. And yes, there is a sense where every individual person is a temple of the Holy Spirit. But yes, also every local church is a temple unto the Lord, a temple of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what Hebrews 10 has to say, because the instruction is to gather together, to assemble. To assemble. He says, let's consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together. Don't neglect to assemble. That would be, again, so ungrateful to the Lord. It would become part of those people who are ungrateful. But gather together so that you can encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. What's the day drawing near? It's the day when the king arrives in full victory procession. Let's make sure that now we've had some dress rehearsals for this event. That's what Sunday is. It's a dress rehearsal for that ultimate day when the king arrives. And I want you to notice in all of these three instructions that attitude matters. In fact, in some ways, attitude is key. It's the first matter of business. Each one of these commands is joined to an adverb. So it's shout joyfully, serve with gladness. It's come before him with joyful singing. So joyful shouting, joyful serving, joyful assembling. God loves cheerful worshipers. So we give thanks to God by joyful assembling. A thankful people are a gathered people. And the Bible is filled with commands to worship God joyfully. It's the heart. Again, it's not just an expression that's outward. It's not writing a thank you note that we write out of obligation. It's writing with true joy. It's expressing to God a gladness, a happiness because of a satisfaction that God has brought through his son Christ, Jesus. Psalm 33 says this, shout for joy in the Lord, you righteous, and praise befits the upright. It befits us. It's right to clothe ourselves with this. Gather together praise. Give thanks to the Lord with a lyre, making melody to him with a harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Again, it's clearly a call for a congregation, for a gathered group of God's people. Sing to him with a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. So do these descriptions of joy match our experience in our corporate worship? That's the question. And often not. And I would confess in my own self that's not true every Sunday. But what God is saying is I care about what's happening on the inside, not just what's happening on the outside. It's not enough to be grumble, 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 get to the church door, smile, 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 get to the church door and out the car, grumble, grumble, grumble. It's not worship. You know, it's hey, this is who I am now because of what God's done for me. And that's why gospel living always precedes godly worship. God doesn't command us to sing like we mean it. Have you ever heard a music praise leader say that? Hey, sing like you mean it. That's not God's command. In fact, I don't think that honors God to do that. Because if you don't mean it, the thing to do is not to pretend. That creates a church of hypocrites. The thing to do is say, God, my heart's not grateful. That means I'm in darkness. I need Christ Jesus to fill me with the abundant life that he offers. What is happening to my soul that's not filled with joy? What hindrance is there that I'm creating that keeps me from a heart of genuine love, genuine adoration, genuine praise? You see, genuine joy creates singing hearts. It creates smiling faces. You don't have to tell this face to smile. Joy just naturally does it. Here's the principle. Joy cannot be manufactured. In fact, it must not be manufactured. And this is a danger because in a congregation, music makes you feel happy. Good music does. And that's a danger. If we become reliant, like grumpy, 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 oh, music, whew, my soul is uplifted, and then we leave grumpy, 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 that's not real joy. That's a manufactured joy that can happen in any secular concert. And that happens among people who don't know God at all the time. And so it's really important for us to evaluate our soul and say, is this expression of joy driven by the Spirit of God and his work in my life? Joy is the fruit of God's Spirit at work in us. Joy is the fruit of our fellowship with God. And that's, again, why worship on the 6 days is a preparation. It's a fuel to the worship on that seventh, that day when we get together, that first day of the week. God must give us joy or we won't have joy. There is a remedy for a lack of joy, and that's the cross of Christ. A lack of joy in our worship rightly then leads us back to Jesus. It doesn't lead us to self-improvement. Say, you know what, I just need to. No, it leads us back to Christ because he is the source of abundant life and we need him. There are many reasons that a believer may not have joy. We list a few. There's bitterness against a brother or sister who's hurt us. There's unconfessed sin. There's a lack of communion with God, a lack of prayer through the week. There's spiritual attack from the evil one. We need to put on the full armor because those arrows, flaming arrows, are getting through. There's paralyzing fears. There's a love for the things of this world. All these things are joy stealers. But all of these have a remedy. That remedy is our victor, the one who allows us to be more than conquerors. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Here's what Jesus says. I'm the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Abide in me and I in you. That's what he says. And this is the promise. He says, these things I've spoken to you. What? I just spoke to you about how I'm the vine, the Father's a vine dresser, and how I care for the vine, and how I'm calling you to abide in me, to connect with me in communion. These things I've spoken to you that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be full. That's why I spoke these things to you. That's why I told you about this kind of relationship that I'm offering. Friends, let's go to Christ with a heart of submission, a heart of faith, and ask him to fill our life with grace. Here's a prayer I often pray for myself and for you and for this congregation. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. It's a great prayer. Let's pray it for one another. Now we want to consider the motivation for Thanksgiving, verses 3 and 5, and we're just going to touch on these. It would be great to spend so long on these, but let's just touch on these. We ask the question, why, though, should I give thanks to God? Why should I shout joyfully? That's hard for me to do. Why should I serve him? I have a lot of stuff to do on my plate, a lot of things to do at my work and with my family and with other responsibilities. Why should I come gather together in joyful singing when, you know, it's a busy life and this is the one day I have? Why? Why should I do that? And God gives us the answers. It's because of who he is and what he's done. That's it. Look at verse 3 and verse 5. He says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. And we are his. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. Verse 5. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness to all generations. Verse 5 says he's good, he's loving, and he's faithful. This is a fuel that motivates us to give thanks to God in a way that God appreciates, a way that God is pleased. When we know God, our hearts will naturally just burn toward these expressions of thanksgiving. Now, there are three qualities of God that are highlighted for our joy. The first is that God is a good, loving, and faithful creator. So verse 5 provides those attributes of good, loving, faithful. Verse 3 provides these other aspects of God's person. He is creator. He's good, loving, creator. It's He who made us. In other words, what would we be were it not for God? Nothing. So we talk about my time, you know, my schedule. What would that be if it were for God? Nothing. You wouldn't be here. So we just acknowledge He's our creator. Everything needs to be about Him because of who He is. He made us. Let's meditate upon this for a moment. God's our personal creator. We're not an accident. We're not an afterthought. We're not a product of chance. We were made directly and purposely by God. Everything we experience in life is because of God's decision to create us. That's it. Psalm 139, the psalmist reflects on this more. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together inside my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it full well. My frame's not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was not one. He says, you created me in such a way that from the very beginning, you were there. I was your work, and you ordained even the number of days that I will be alive in this earth. So, what's more important than God? That's the question. What takes precedent when we recognize God? You made me. Nothing would be possible apart from you. Second quality of God: God is a good, loving, and faithful Redeemer. We are His. We are His people. It's remarkable. You see, the Bible teaches that because of sin, we are naturally strangers to God. We are natural enemies of God. We're outside the family. We are not His people. That's not how we're born, not one of us. But God, by redeeming us, brings us inside His family. And the cost God pays to adopt us into His family is immeasurable. We consider just a few verses. So let's know this, that you were ransomed from the futile ways of life, just a life of total emptiness, inherited from your forefathers, and you were ransomed by God, not with perishable things such as silver and gold. No amount of silver and gold in all the world could have accomplished that, but you were ransomed by something far more valuable, the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without spot or blemish. Amazing. Peter goes on to say, so you are a chosen race. Think about this. You're redeemed in the South. This is who you are. You are His people. You're a chosen race. You're a royal priesthood. You now are a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Why? That you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's why. You were once not a people. Every one of us began as not a people. But now you are God's people. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy, we are His possession. Let me ask you, do you know that God is a God who made you and that He offers redemption, that He's redeemed you if you're in Christ so that you would enjoy Him and make all your life about Him? You'd be His possession, proclaiming His excellencies. That's the whole purpose, the whole goal. The last quality Psalm 100 teaches about is that God not only a good, loving, and faithful creator and redeemer, but shepherd. You are the sheep of His pasture. He pledges to care for us like a shepherd cares for the sheep, supply our every need for the present and the future, to protect us against all enemies, and to lead us safely home to glory. We fear no evil. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I say that just simply because God's my shepherd. I couldn't say that if I'm making self-directed path. I can say, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Why do I know that? Because God is my shepherd. I am His sheep. I'm His flock. That's what God does. And then when I die, I will dwell in His house, the house of the Lord, forever. Friend, I want to ask you, do you know the Lord? Do you know Him as your creator, that He created you personally? More, do you know Him as your redeemer? Do you know that He sent His Son to die so that Jesus' blood would ransom your soul out of being alienated from God, distant from God, and bring you into His own family? That's the cost. That was necessary, but that's the purpose. Do you know Jesus as your Redeemer? Do you know God as your shepherd? In other words, are you sheep who hears his voice? And when you hear the voice, the shepherd, you turn, you follow him because you know him. Friends, how can a person know the Lord? That's the command here, isn't it, in verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. Do you know him? And the answer to that question, I love John 1. Let me just read this to you. He, Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. So a natural state is that we don't know God. We don't know Jesus when we're born. The world didn't know him. He came to his own, and his own people didn't receive him. They didn't recognize him as anything special. But then he says, but to all who did receive him, that is to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, a people of God's own possession, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but were born of God, that there's spiritual life inside of these folks. Do you have that spiritual life? Receive him. Believe in his name. That's the access to this grace. The last matter I want to talk about this morning is God's call to thanksgiving. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. God has instructed us how to give thanks. He's instructed us why we give thanks. Now he just says, okay, let's get to it. Enter. Go. The invitation is made. God loves grateful, joyful worshipers. So, we've heard 7 commands, and the question we're going to ask is, what will I do? Lord, will I obey? Lord, we cry. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of hope, so that we will abound in joy. And in our joy, we want to give thanks to you, our generous, gracious God, in a way that you most appreciate. So we commit ourselves to shout with joy, to serve you with gladness, and to come together often as we possibly can, with joyful singing. Praise God and praise God.
Thanks for listening today. Rich will wrap up the message in a moment. Won't you consider listening each week to this broadcast? Invite your friends to listen also. Now, here's Rich.
Thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. It's our joy to open up God's Word together, and specifically on this theme of giving thanks. You know, oftentimes we focus on this theme in November, but it's really right for us to focus on this theme of thanksgiving during every season, because God's favor, his mercy, his blessing, that's new every morning, great is his faithfulness. Relationships often begin to crumble because of a lack of gratitude, and I want to close this time together by challenging you very practically. First, take some time to build your relationship with God by writing on a sheet of paper 20 specific ways which God has shown his love to you. And then take that 20 and every day this week just simply say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then if you have another person in your life, like a husband, a wife, a child, a dad, a mom, write out 10 specific things that you're thankful for them and thank God specifically for them. Thankfulness will grow relationship. So I want to encourage you in that way. May God bless you today.
If you'd like to hear this message again, go to our website and listen or download a copy for free. And if you've been blessed by this ministry, would you please communicate with us? It's such a blessing when we hear what God is doing through this broadcast. Go to knowingchrist.org. That's knowingchrist.org, and select the Contact Us tab. We look forward to your feedback, and please let us know what station you're listening to. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church.